The main subject that's on my heart this morning is the power of the Word of God. God has great power. God is omnipotent. God can do anything. When God speaks, something's going to happen. God can speak to a nation, and that nation can respond in obedience to the Word of God, and that nation can be spared from destruction when they respond in obedience to God. God brings order. The Word of God brings order to a nation. When God spoke to the city of Nineveh, God told that city of Nineveh to repent. They did repent, and order was restored by the Word of God. On the other hand, God has another way to bring order by the power of His Word. God can speak to cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, or the city of Jerusalem, or the whole world, as He did in Genesis chapter 6. God can speak and tell that world or those cities to repent. And if they don't repent, then God will bring order by bringing destruction. God completely destroyed this earth with a flood. God spoke the word. The flood came, and order was restored. Wasn't restored the way that we would like to see it restored in America. The way I would like to see order restored to America is for the same thing to happen here that happened in the city of Nineveh, where when the Word of God was spoken, the people heard the Word of God, believed God, and repented and turned away from their evil ways. And order was restored because there was obedience to the Word of God. But I want us to think about the power of God's Word. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35, the Word of God says, "In the same day, when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Do you see the power? Do you hear the power of the Word of God? That all Jesus had to do was just say, "Peace, be still," and the wind stopped, and the sea was calm because of the power of the Word of God. All through the pages of the Scriptures, we see the power of the Word of God. Going all the way back to the book of Genesis, back up in your Bibles very quickly to Genesis chapter 1, you'll see the power of the Word of God. The beginning, what I want you to see is chaos before God's Word is spoken, and then order that's brought about by the Word of God. There can be chaos in a family, and if that family will hearken to the Word of God, order can be restored to a family. There can be chaos in a church, confusion and trouble in a church. The Word of God can be spoken if that church will obey the Word of God. Order can be restored to that church. Peace, tranquility, harmony, and unity can come to a church when they follow the Word of God. So in the creation of this world, look at in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form." I want you to get the picture of the earth now. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said," do you hear the Word of God there? God said. What was there before God spoke these words? "The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And then God spoke, and God said, Let there be light." And that was the beginning of order coming into this world. And every single day, as you go through Genesis chapter 1, every single day, It's going to begin by saying, and God said, and after God says something, then whatever he says happens. And when God spoke, order, more order came about. I'm not going to be able to go through this entire first chapter, but I encourage you to go home and look at Genesis chapter 1, and I want you to see that every single day in the creation of this world, God spoke, and every time God spoke, more order came to this earth. Until finally, on day 6, God said, let us make man in our image. And when God began to form man, and he created man, he gave man dominion over the fowl of the air and everything there. That was the order that God set up. Then in Genesis chapter 2, after God had created Adam, there needed to be something else. God said it was not good that man should live alone. And so God took a rib of Adam and he formed a woman, and that woman was bringing order. There was more order to the earth once Adam had a helpmeet, once Adam had a wife. There was more order to the earth than there had been before that day. And in Genesis chapter 2, after God had made the woman, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, the word of God says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The word of God says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There are two very important principles of order that God's word gives about the family right here. The first one is, if you're going to have order in a marriage, it's going to be between a man and a woman. There is no order when you have a man joined to a man, or a woman joined to a woman. That is completely contrary to the word of God. It is chaos and confusion. It is contrary to the word of God and the way of God, and it will always result in chaos and confusion between those two people and between those people and the rest of the world that want to follow the word of God, because the word of God says that that's an abomination in the sight of God. Old and New Testaments declare that marriage is between a man and a woman. And so it is that we have harmony and we have unity and we have peace and we have tranquility and we have order when we follow the word of God. And when we depart from the word of God, we have disunity in the marriage and in the home. There are many other rules for a marriage that God gives us in his word. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to remember now, this is not my word. This is the word of God. I want you to know that if you want some order in your home, if you want peace and tranquility, if you want harmony, if you want a home that's full of joy, you have to follow the word of God, because the word of God will always bring order and harmony and peace. So in the home and in a marriage, you have to follow the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Not only does the word of God tell us in Genesis chapter 2 that a marriage must be between a man and a woman, the word of God also taught us in Genesis chapter 2 that for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. You cannot have an orderly marriage if a man does not leave his mother and his father, if a woman does not leave her mother and father. There has to be a separation from the parents before there can be a cleaving of the husband and wife. You will only have unity in a home when you follow God's order of leaving the parents and being joined unto your spouse. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have a third rule of God's order for the home. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, the word of God says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now that's God's order. I want you to know there's not a man on this earth, there's not a man in this building, that your head is not Jesus Christ. Jesus is your head, even if you're not a child of God. Jesus is your head because he's your creator. But if you're a child of God, Jesus is your head in a very special way. And that's the order. He says, the head, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. Now, who set up that order? Jesus did. God did. God established this order. You break this order up and it will not work. You will not have anything but chaos when you have a woman ruling a house. A woman trying to rule a man is contrary to the Word of God. It's out of God's order. It will not work. One of the first marriages that I ever performed, probably 37 or 38, 39 years ago, a deacon's daughter that she and her fiancé were very, very intelligent people. They had several degrees. Both of them had several college degrees apiece. Very, very smart people. And they came to me for me to perform a marriage ceremony. I told them I would have to do premarital counseling. And during that premarital counseling, it didn't take but two or three times for me to recognize the woman ruled that man. And I told them that until they began to follow God's word, of God's order, of the man being the head of the woman, that I could not perform a marriage ceremony. And he said, oh, I don't mind her being the head. It's okay with me for her to be the boss. I said, I'm telling you, that's out of God's order. And it might be all right with you, but it's not all right with God. And you will never have a harmonious, happy marriage if you don't follow God's order. And I'll tell you, by the grace of God, over the next several weeks, that young man and that woman began to see what God's word said. And they began to recognize that their way was different than God's way. But by the grace of God, they changed their order to God's order. And they're still married today. You know, brethren, God's order will always work. The head of every man is Christ. This idea that you are the head, men, that you are the head, and that's all you think about is you're the head of the woman. You don't understand you have somebody over you. The head of every man is Christ. And you start trying to be the king of your house and you think you're the head of your house and you forget that Christ is your head and you stop being submissive to Christ, you're out of order. When you stop loving your wife, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. When a husband is submissive to Christ, and when a husband loves his wife, even as Christ also loves the church, that woman will have no problem being submissive to her husband and loving her husband and reverencing her husband. When a man loves his wife, even as he loves himself, when a man loves his wife and is manifesting that love, that's God's order for the man to be a loving man. For the man, and I'll tell you this, Christ does more for the church than the church does for Christ. And if you're going to follow that pattern, you're going to be doing more for your wife than your wife is doing for you. And you'll have peace and you'll have harmony. And the man will be happy and the woman will be happy. And Christ is pleased when we follow his order. And Christ gives us great blessings when we follow his order in the home. Not only do you have order of Christ being the head of the man, you have the order of the man being the head of the woman. But I'm telling you, brethren, children are to be submissive to their parents. When you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, after in Ephesians chapter 5, the Word of God has given us the order of the husbands and the wives. In Ephesians 5, verse 22, the Word of God says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Is that reiterating what we've already said about the man being the head of the woman? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then he says in verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now come down to chapter 6. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, all of you children. It does not matter whether you're 2 years old, 6 years old, 12 years old, 18 years old. If you're still at home, you are to do what your parents say for you to do. My daddy told me I was 18 years old, and I played football, and I lifted weights, and I was very strong. My daddy weighed 135. That was his weight from the time he got out of World War II till the day he died, just about. That was his weight, 135. He could eat a can of biscuits with gravy and everything else and didn't gain any weight. Me and Mom would smell of it, and we gained weight. It wasn't fair. That's not the point. The point is that when my daddy said to do something, I was required to do it. And all of my friends and my friends' parents, they said, your daddy's too strict, and you shouldn't have to do all that he says. And they kept encouraging me and provoking me until finally one day, my daddy said, at the junior-senior prom my senior year, I said, what time do I have to be in? He said, the normal time, 11 o'clock. And I pushed my chair back from the table, and I said, we'll see about that. And I started in my bedroom, and he swung me around, and he said, what did you say? That was the only time, it was the first time, and it was the last time that I ever spoke back to my daddy. And I said, we'll see. I'm not coming in at 11 o'clock. And I reared back because I knew how to fight. And I reared back to hit him. And I remember rearing back. And when I reared my fist back, my head started just getting bobbed around like a ball on a boat polo bouncing paddle. And my daddy knocked me all over that room. And I'd get up and I'd charge back at him and down I would go again. It was a horrible fight. I had friends standing outside. We had it planned. And my mama and my sister went running out the door. He's going to kill him. He's going to kill him. My friends thought I was killing my daddy. Listen, brethren, children, you know what my daddy did that day? He kept his house in order. He'd already set it in order and he kept it in order. The fact that I was 18 years old didn't make any difference about whether I had to obey his rules. And this business of letting your children get up too old and you say, well, I can't control them anymore, you're making major mistakes. When you say, well, oh, they don't have to go to church with us anymore, they don't have to follow the truth anymore, they don't have to do what I say anymore, you're making a major mistake as parents when you don't make your children do what's right. You're responsible for them. That's God's order. And children are to obey their parents. He says in verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first and great commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And then he says in verse 4, and fathers, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What are fathers supposed to do? They're to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're to teach them the right way to go. They're to train them in the way that they should go. What is this we're talking about? God's order. What are we talking about? The power of the Word of God. That when we do what God says, there's power that God comes and blesses our lives immeasurably. After he talks about the family, the next thing he does is start talking about when you go to work. Look at verse 5. He says, servants. That means everybody that works for somebody else. Everybody understand that? You work for somebody else, you're responsible for doing what that person tells you to do. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. He's saying, do what your boss tells you to do. As long as what your boss tells you to do is not contrary to the Word of God, you're commanded by God to do what he tells you to do. If you don't want to do what he tells you to do, you go look for another job. But as long as you work for that man, you do what he tells you to do when it doesn't contradict the Word of God. And then he tells the masters what they better do. Come down to verse 9. He says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. What does that mean? Just as in the home, the man is the head of the woman, but who's the head of the man? God is. Christ is. Now, just as that's true in the home, in the workplace, you have a master, you have a servant. But there's somebody over that master, and that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our master, Jesus Christ. And if you are in a position of authority and you are over other people, you better remember there is a master over you. Your master is going to hold you accountable because he's told you in his word what you're supposed to do for those that work for you. Now, does God's word bring order in the home? Did God's word bring order in the creation of this world? Did God's word bring order when there was a sea that was turbulent and Jesus just said, "Peace be still"? Did he speak order there? What about in the church? Is there ever confusion in the church? You ever seen a church where there was confusion? Do you know the only thing that'll bring about? You know the only thing to get rid of confusion in the church? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God will get rid of confusion in a church. You will not have confusion in the church when the church follows the Word of God. It'll bring about order. Look in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The church at Corinth is probably one of the most ungodly churches that we read about in the Scriptures. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it identifies one of the main problems in the church at Corinth is that there were divisions in the church. One person was saying, "Well, I'm going to follow Brother David." Another person was saying, "Well, I'm behind Brother Philip." Another person was saying, "I'm behind Brother Jarvis." Another group was saying, "I'm behind Brother Jerry." Do you follow what I'm saying? Schisms, divisions in the body. That's contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God is to be a body fitly joined together, working together, laboring together with one head. And the head of the church is not the pastor, and the head of the church is not a board of deacons. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. All the rest of us are members of the body. Christ is the head of the church. And the head of the church has said now, "Here's my word, follow my word, I'll bless this church." Will he do it? When there's division in the body, does he tell us what to do? If me and Brother David have a problem, we can't get it settled. The Bible says in Matthew 18, I'm to go to him alone and talk to him. And this is a personal offense, now a personal trespass. And if he and I can't get it straightened out, then I'm to take two or three with me, that every word will be established, and let them listen to both sides, and let them decide who's right and who's wrong. And if they say I'm wrong and I won't change, then I have to be brought before the church. And if the church can't convert me and I will not repent, I have to be put out of the church. That's God's order. That brings about harmony. I tell you what else it'll do. It'll make everybody else straighten up when they see that happening in the church. It'll make you think, I better not talk about brother. So I better not hold a grudge, because this church is going to follow God's order. And if I hold a grudge and I'm angry and I'm getting mad at somebody and I'm trying to get a clique to follow me, I need to know this is going to be a church matter. What will it do? It'll make me straighten up. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a different problem. I didn't read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read that first. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen, please, to verse 10. 1 Corinthians about the schism or division in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. You know how, the only way we can all agree on everything? You know how we can all agree on everything? Follow the Word of God. And we'll all agree. That y'all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Then he says, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Was that wrong for there to be contentions in the body? Yes. Jesus makes this statement on more than one occasion. He says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It won't last. You either get God's house in order, or this house, this local body, will fold. And in 1 Corinthians 5, he speaks of another problem in the church. There was a man in the church that was an adulterer. Did you know that in most churches today, you can commit adultery and nothing happens? I meant to mention this earlier. Did you know God gave the Ten Commandments to bring order to a people? When the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, God gave them those Ten Commandments. Every one of those commandments is to bring order. And following those Ten Commandments will bring unity. And it'll bring harmony. And it'll bring peace. And 1 Corinthians 5, the Word of God speaks about adultery. A man that was committing fornication in the church. And the church was ignoring that problem. Did nothing about it. Very proud that they did nothing about it. They were boasting that they did nothing about it. And God says, what? Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Don't you know, church, he was saying to the church at Corinth, don't you know that ignoring this problem is going to result in the whole body being corrupted? The only way this church could be saved was for this man to be put out of the church. Now that's God's word. 1 Corinthians 5, come down to verse 11. Now, what's the purpose of the word of God? Is it powerful? Does it bring about order in the church? 1 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 11, but now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? That's outside the church. Do not ye judge them that are within, those that are within the church? But them that are without, outside the church, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Who said to do that? Who said to do that? Are churches doing that today? Now, when churches don't do that, you end up with chaos and confusion. One of the greatest blessings that we have, this is homecoming. One of the greatest blessings that we have as a church body is that you have listened to the Word of God. One of the greatest blessings that you have, the reason that, and I told Brother Michael Hadaway, who was here for Brother Brooks and Sister Jessica's wedding, and I told him, I said, I believe that I have the privilege of serving the best church in the entire world. And I believe that, brethren. I believe that with all my heart. I don't think, and he can believe that about the church he serves. I said, you just maybe just second place, but do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, listen, brethren, as long as the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church will follow the Word of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail against this church. But if we ever start compromising in any area, if we ever stop following God's Word in any way, if we ever depart from the faith that was once delivered to the saints, if we ever allow false doctrines or false practices into the church and don't rise up and do something about it, chaos and confusion will come and the Spirit of God will depart from this place. We can still meet together and we can have a social club and we can have fellowship, but we will cease to be the church of Jesus Christ, because the church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know why we're having another homecoming this year, another spiritual homecoming? Because God has spared us. Are we a perfect church? Not quite. You don't have a perfect preacher, you'll never have a perfect preacher. You can get rid of me, try to get a better preacher, but you won't ever get a perfect preacher. And no preacher will ever find a perfect congregation. We're not absolutely perfect. Nobody here is absolutely perfect. But we ought to be striving for perfection, and we ought to be following Jesus. And when we're trying to do that, the Lord will bless the church. May God help us to follow the Word of God and to realize the power of the Word of God is my prayer, for Christ's sake.